You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This edition of It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, your partner for global wealth creation. Welcome to It's My Money. It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, and Brenthurst Wealth was voted South Africa's top boutique wealth manager in 2023. Today I'm speaking to Mags Haystack from Brenthurst Wealth, and we're going to talk about living annuities. And the headline is, time is running out for maximum offshore exposure. Please explain, Mags.
Lindsay, from my side, as always, thanks for having me and taking the time to chat to me. And the headline essentially is actually a word of warning. Just to make a very, very long story short, we are seeing a lot of platforms in South Africa running out of offshore exposure, in particular to their living annuities. And that's pretty much what you know the topic of conversation is about. And I think just to give you a little bit of information, we over the past couple of years we've seen very you know big and prominent platforms running out of offshore exposure for investors. And to give you an idea, as it stands right now, in accordance to South African legislation, any investor within a living annuity has the option to go up to 100% with their offshore exposure. So what that really means is you have the ability to invest your local investments in offshore assets. And as you know, Brentus has been very vocal about investors needing offshore exposure in any form of investment for a very, very long time to protect against a weakening rand. But what we're seeing now is, you know, big names, and it's not to, let's say, out anyone. It's not a, you know, it's not a criticism on any particular company, but we're seeing very big platforms like Allan Gray, Signia, 91, and these are companies that we do use and do business with, but they've all been hit by, you know, having the offshore exposure being limited. And not to, you know, not in any particular order, but we're seeing a lot of these companies having issues with the offshore exposure, and they're now having maximum limits of about 45%. So as I've mentioned, you are able to have up to 100%. And what's happening now, and this is more particular for new investors, they're limited to about between 40 and 45%. And this is a big concern because Brenthurst's philosophy is that even with investors with living annuities, and you know, apart from the usual disclaimers of risk profiles and everything else like that, we just don't think that that's enough. You know, especially if you look at the way that the rand has weakened over the past couple of years, how offshore equities have outperformed local equities, it's very concerning to see that. And you know, in future, we can expect to see more companies joining that party of saying, sorry, we can't help you. We can only help you with about 40-45%.
That's a strange situation, isn't it? You also say, you mentioned those three companies, Allan Gray, Signia, 91. You also say what is also affecting clients with those companies is that any change to the portfolio could trigger a forced reduction. In other words, you know, they want to have a certain percentage of a certain stock, and if it goes, or asset class, and it goes up above that level, then they have to get out of it, I suppose. And any switches could force their portfolios to go down to whatever percentage it is. So it's a forced reduction.
Yes, that's correct. So what we've been seeing is with a lot of different companies, for example, you already have 80% offshore or maybe 70%, and now a particular fund isn't doing well, or you know there's exposure to certain companies that are just not really relevant or particular to those investments anymore. And what we've been seeing is when the advisor makes a certain change. Now, to give you, let's say, a very, very basic example, the investor already has 80% offshore. Now, the advisor wants to step in, make a few changes. The platforms are coming in and saying, sorry, if you make these changes, the new portfolio is not compliant with the maximum allowable offshore exposure. So what's been happening with us in particular is that many times we actually go back to the investor and say, let's weigh the, you know, the risks and the opportunities here, but we feel that reducing your offshore exposure is probably not in your best interest. And what's happening in this case is that the platforms are now saying you have to reduce the offshore exposure in order to become essentially compliant. And it's not it's not that the platforms are being, you know, that they're policing investments or anything else like that. It's just they basically have reached the cap in relation to what they're allowed, and, you know, with basically the Reserve Bank. And because there has been such a massive influx into offshore investments over the past 10, 15 years, that a lot of these platforms are now not having the capacity anymore. And essentially, as far as I understand, it's not a prescribed, let's say, reduction for offshore exposure. The platforms are doing it so that the, you know, future investors also have the ability to invest into offshore assets. So it's a case of basically they have a certain amount that they can take out as a, let's say, as an asset manager or as a platform. And they're basically saying, well, we have to reduce it so that we don't reach our cap, and then no one is able to take money offshore. So it's very concerning to see this happening, and it's happening with more and more platforms. And, you know, Brentus in particular, we've had, you know, quite a few platforms over the last 2 years saying, sorry, we cannot offer 100% anymore. We are only able to provide you with 40-45% offshore exposure. And this really only affects living annuities.
And presumably, of course, your clients phone you up and say, why have I only got 40-45% when I am legally able to have many, many more percentages, if you see what I mean. But you've mentioned some companies, some very high profile companies. Are there any other companies, alternative companies, that are not up to their limits?
Yes, so there is still options. There are still a few companies in South Africa that provide the necessary administration and everything else that's needed for living annuities, and they still have 100%. You know, this is accurate at the time of this recording, but they still have 100% exposure, and some of those names include Momentum, 10X, and Stanlib. And there are probably other platforms out there as well that possibly we don't do business with, but it's always advisable for investors who are seeking that higher level of offshore exposure in the living annuities to have a chat with their advisor or chat to Brentus even and find out, well, I actually want 100% offshore exposure. Where can I put my money? And there are options. And again, as I've mentioned, it's not, you know, this is not a case of, you know, one platform is better than another and you know, I'm giving preferential treatment to any particular company.
Understood.
But that's just straight, you know, straight facts. This is what's happening right now. And this is why I'm saying that, you know, time is running out for South African investors who are, you know, maybe sitting on the fence. They haven't really retired from their, you know, their retirement annuities or preservation funds. They're over the age of 55. If you find yourself in that position, just bear in mind that there could come a time where more and more platforms join that 45 club. That's really, you know, the message today is that time is running out, because we're seeing it. We're seeing more and more platforms and asset managers saying, well, we've reached our maximum. So it's going to be very interesting to see what's happening over the next couple of years, especially if you compound the fact that more and more and more and more money over time is leaving South Africa. So keep that in mind.
Do you think that there's any chance that companies like Brenthurst and all the asset managers that you've just mentioned form a group and start lobbying Treasury to say, look, we've got to do something about this? The rand has gone from X to where it is now, above 19 to the US dollar, and we need to serve our investors' income. We need to look after them. And the only way we've done it historically over the last 10 years or so, has been to go overseas. I wonder if that would fall on deaf ears.
I think so, because if you look at the recent changes to retirement annuities and preservation funds, which are governed by a different, let's say, type of legislation, namely Regulation 28, that took very, very long. And for a very long time, the Reg 28 investments were only allowed to have about 30% offshore exposure. And about 3 years ago, it was increased to 45%. And for us, that was a very, very big win, but that took so long. And I think the government is going to be very, very hesitant to, you know, increase the, let's say, the limits. And again, it's not the the, you know, it's not the the platforms or anything that are running out of capacity. They all really have to basically comply with Regulation 28. That's the biggest issue, because a lot of the funds that are used as well have to comply with Regulation 28. And the problem is that, you know, there is a potential that it could change at some point in the future and all of that. But I think the focus right now is on the two-pot retirement system, which I won't go into, you know, much detail on about right now. But, you know, at some point, the asset management industry, as well as the Manco side, that's the, you know, sorry, the Mancos and the LISPs, that's the asset managers and the platforms, have to get together and say, well, by not being able to have the level of offshore exposure that investors need, it is at a detriment to them, because the rand, unfortunately, is weakening and weakening and weakening. Mm-hmm. And what's basically happening is, over, you know, call it a 10-year period, by not having the ability to have a high level of offshore exposure, investors' growth is not there. It's not growing in line with inflation. And what will happen is that investors over time will have to increase their incomes to essentially just keep in line with inflation and the cost of you know, living that's increasing. South Africa's biggest issue is that we are unfortunately a net importer of goods. If you look at a lot of the, let's say, day-to-day goods that we use, they're all dollar-based.
Yeah.
If you look at your phones, your cars, our petrol, internet devices, iPads, everything else, you know, there's a huge, huge, huge long list. Those are all items that are brought in dollar terms. And, you know, the government will always say, oh, you know, inflation's only 6%. But if you actually think about, and you can do this exercise, try and think of, you know, how much a computer costs, you know, five years ago and what you're paying today for it, those are also those creeping costs that are coming in. And especially for annuitants who, you know, rely solely on income from a living annuity, their cost of living is not necessarily increasing, but the demand for rands is going to increase. And by not having sufficient offshore exposure over the long run, it's a recipe for disaster, in my opinion.
Yes, I'll just give you a personal idea of my situation. I moved to the Netherlands. I earn rands, so I'm exposed to the weakness in the rand. It was 13 to 1350 when I arrived. It's now in the low 20s. I mean, that is a massive, massive tax. And so I think everyone must sit down with their apprentice wealth advisor and say, how can I mitigate these circumstances? Max, thank you very much for your insight. Depressing as it was, you want to say something right at the end?
Yes, no. Also from our side, thank you very much. I mean, and you actually hit the nail on the head. I mean, we in the last... If you go back to, I think, 2011, it was 7 rand to the dollar. Now we at, you know, pushing 20s. Mm. And if you had a living annuity with 100%, let's say, local equities, South African equities, you are unfortunately in a very, very big world of pain. I don't think it's too late to make adjustments and all of that, but I think to summarize, if you have a living annuity and you with whatever the platforms that I named earlier, try to keep that position as long as possible. If you are entering into a new living annuity, you know, have a conversation with us or with your current advisor and just figure out how you can maximize your offshore exposure. And ultimately, at the end of the day, depends on your risk profile, your time frame, and all of that. But That's pretty much it from me, Lindsay.
Max, thanks so much for your sage advice. Max Haystack is from Brentos Wealth, and that was It's My Money. It's My Money was brought to you by Brentos Wealth, an award-winning boutique wealth management company.